an eye on me with the time, because I'll get carried away and just... Are we going to come now to why should we seek to win others? I've got another funny one here for you.
Just ignore me.
Okay. A man was once flying from Atlanta to Dallas. And it so happened that in the next seat to him there was a little girl with Down syndrome. After a while she turned to him and said, "Do you smoke?" "No," he said, "I don't smoke." "That's good," she said. "My mummy says you shouldn't smoke." Then she pointed out to the businessman who was sitting on the other side of him and said, "Does he smoke?" The man was naturally rather embarrassed by this, but he thought he ought to humour her. So he asked the businessman sitting next to him, "Excuse me, but do you smoke?" "No," he said. "That's good," said the girl. And there was a bit of a pause, and then a few minutes later, the little girl said, "Do you love Jesus?" "Yes," the man replied. "As a matter of fact, I do love Jesus." "That's good," she said. "Everyone should love Jesus." And then it suddenly dawned on him what she was going to say next. And he hunched down in his seat and hoped against hope that she wouldn't, but she did. The man next to you," she said, "does he love Jesus?" So he swallowed hard and turned to the businessman sitting next to him and asked him, and with a tear in his eye, the man replied, "Do you know, I've been wanting someone to ask me that for a long time." And so Milton Cunningham, who was a preacher on his way to speak at a seminary in Dallas, led that businessman to Christ there and then on the aeroplane, all thanks to a little girl's utter lack of self-confidence. It just shows you, really, when we're willing to take that step of faith, how God unfolds things. I want to read now Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, known as the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Jesus is commissioned to the church. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Jesus said in verse 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." A divine endorsement of preacher and gospel. So that when we go in his name, we have all the backing of heaven behind us. All authority in heaven has been given to Jesus. So that when we go in his name as his ambassador, we have all the backing of heaven behind us. All the authority has been given to you. A divine endorsement of the witness, the preacher, and the gospel. God will vindicate us if we remain faithful. He did for Jesus in John 10, verse 38. "But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the words that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." He gave Jesus the words to speak to the Pharisees when they were quizzing him. He did it in the ministry of the early church. The disciples went and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Mark 16, verse 20. So we are ambassadors for Jesus. We're not going in our own strength. We're not going on our own mission. We're going in his name, and we have all the authority of heaven behind us. You think of all the authority of heaven is with you in your ministry. The divine purpose of evangelism, then, the aim of the Great Commission is found in its verb, make disciples. The purpose of the church is to make disciples, not converts, not members, but disciples. Now, I was speaking a few minutes ago about all of us having a different gift, and it will take all those gifts working together to make disciples. It's a work in progress. It takes, an evangelist can't make disciples on his own. He can bring people to Christ, he can speak about spiritual things and draw people to Jesus, but then it takes other gifts to be able to make the disciple, like the gift of a teacher, the gift of the pastor, the gift of the counselling gift, practical gifts, people working behind the scenes, all working together. Our goal is to make disciples. The three commands, go, baptise and teach. Go, baptise and teach are progressive priorities towards the goal of making disciples. We're called to make disciples. To go, we take the gospel to people where they can be found. We go, we go to people with the message. We go to people with God's love. People are waiting to hear the message. We need to be able to know what we're going to say when we speak to them. And we have to grow in maturity to be able to identify them in the way I was talking, in being equipped to be able to do the job. Churchill said, give me the tools and I'll do the job. So if we've got the tools, we can do the job. If we've got the know-how, we've got more chance of seeing people come to Christ, haven't we? To go, we take the gospel to people where they are found. The first disciples knew and understood the gospel. In Mark 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Very good at talking about a lot of worldly things, but we've got to try and get in that mode that we're spiritually minded, that we're not ashamed to be able to talk about spiritual things. The gospel, the good news. You know, when we're talking to our friends, people that we know, we've got to somehow come to that place where we can just slip a word in of love. Do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know, I was reading the Bible this morning and it said this to me. Just slipping in little words and being bold enough to start to give the gospel. And if they respond to that, we can go further with them. But I'll be explaining more about that when I talk about the gospel presentation. We take the gospel to people. And obviously these first disciples knew and understood the gospel. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. When I became a Christian in the Salvation Army, I don't know whether I've already mentioned this, but they took me to a corps from the hospital, to a corps, which is a church. And it took me about 3 weeks, I think, before I came to terms with the fact that I had to go out the front when the preacher preached and kneel at the mercy seat and give your life to Christ. And I tried to do that, and I did that, and somebody came and knelt by me and prayed with me. I can't remember much about it now. But the officer came to me after and said, John, I want you to give your testimony next week. And so I practiced all week writing down what I was going to say. And I did it to the best of my ability. You had to come forward and come to the lectern and give your testimony. But there was a man in the congregation who came up to me after and he said, John, I'm going to write to you. And I'd already identified that this man was very spiritual because I'd heard him praying in the service. I'm going to write to you, John. And I'm back in the hostel. And this letter came a few days later, and it was from a man called Arthur Ford, who told me how he became a Christian and is a little bit about his story. And he said, John, if you want any help, get in touch with me and we can get together, etc. And I did. And he then started to disciple me, taking me into his home, Bible study, encouraging me to pray. And I remember when I went to the core or the church, he'd be chivvying me along to get involved in the service, like saying a prayer. So he discipled me. Now, isn't that what we should be doing with one another? We're all at different levels. We've not arrived yet. We all need encouragement. We all have a gift to be able to do it. Get our minds off the things of the world and start thinking about the possibilities of building one another up in spiritual things, putting Christ first. And Arthur Ford used to say to me, John, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And in those days, I had nothing. Barely got a faith. Just dressed in what I had and living in the Salvation Army hostel in Coventry. And I can look back now over the years and see how God's led me over these 40 odd years by his grace, because I've endeavoured to put him first to the best of my ability, and he is faithful. Now again, I'm going to say it, you're here for a purpose. God has called you here for a purpose, and I want to encourage you to really take hold of that and find out where you fit in as an individual and where you fit in collectively, and try and work in unity to get moving in God, to bring glory to him. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. I wanted to say, really, that he taught me whenever to give a testimony, whenever to give a word, give the word. It's the word of God that brings faith to people. It's the word of God. We're saved by faith, not by ourselves, but it's the word of God. So we preach the word, And when we give the gospel, it's the message we give. And this is where a lot of Christians go wrong. They just babble on about a load of stuff, what the Lord's done for them, but they never come to the place where they can give the word in a concise way that people can make sense of it. Learning to give the word, very important, vital really, to go to them. And then we move on to baptize. In the book of Acts, baptism was normally the first act of obedience. The first act of obedience after faith in Jesus Christ, followed by the filling of the Holy Spirit. So it's a progressive thing, coming to Christ, moving in faith, being baptized, dead to the world, alive to Christ, leaving the world behind, moving on in God as a demonstration of our faith, and then walking in the Spirit daily, reading our Bible, listening to God, What is God saying to me today? Then you've got all these scriptures followed by the filling of the Spirit. Be not filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. When we do it God's way, we will see some fruit. We will see something happening when we do it God's way. To teach meant to instruct new believers to obey the teachings of Jesus. So we go, we're all under go orders. We baptize and we teach. We're making disciples. If we can make disciples, if we can bring people to Christ, they will remain, they will grow, they will begin to mature. Meant to instruct new believers to obey the teachings of Jesus, to bring to spiritual maturity. Acts chapter 2 verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. I'm going to move on now to the gospel presentation. I want to give you something that, if you can get hold of this, you will almost remember it and be able to remember the sequence on how to explain the gospel to a person that they can make sense of and understand and come and make a commitment to Christ. For years now, I've had something in my Bible, which is this. I don't know how many years, it must be at least 30 years I've had this in my Bible. It's the gospel outline. I put this up together and I keep it in my Bible. And often in the early days, if I was ever asked to share a word, I got something here. It was always the gospel. Or if somebody wanted to talk to me, be quiet and sit with me and talk, I got the gospel outline and I kept that. And so it's the gospel presentation on what we're going to go through now, and clarifying questions, and then steps to take to receive Christ. Now, if you can get hold of this with the scriptures, then I'm sure you will help a lot of people and you will become effective. In fact, it was in 1981-82 that I first came encountered with this, because it's part of the evangelism explosion teaching, and I felt it was so good, scriptural and helpful, I've kept it in. So we're looking now at the gospel presentation. First of all, when you're speaking to someone, whether they are wanting to talk to you privately or whether you're going to them to approach them, ask questions. You're basically wanting to find out where they are, where they're at, so that you can begin to talk to them, their background, their home, their job, how are they feeling, etc., etc. Talk about their home life. And then it is always good to say, would you mind, or would you like me to say something about my life? And if they say yes, then you can proceed to start to give your testimony. If they say no, it doesn't seem to be the right time at the moment, don't push it. Leave it at that, and there will be another time. But if you're listening and your heart's right and they pick up that you love them and you care for them, very often they will want you to give your testimony and tell them how you became a Christian. so that when you've done that, you can say, would you like me to tell you more about God's love for you? And then you can begin by saying, grace, or God has a free gift for you. God is offering you a free gift. You can't earn it, you can't buy it, you can't attain to it through any academic ascent. It's a free gift, and it's by his grace. Divine favour. God wants to give you eternal life by free gift. So Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's these scriptures that will change their hearts and their minds. Learning to quote these scriptures. For the wages of death is sin, but the gift of God is eternal life. Heaven cannot be earned. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So we cannot save ourselves. And then we can move on to man. A man is a lost sinner. A man can't earn his salvation. A man can't help himself. He's separate from God. He was born into the world through his mother's womb, but born spiritually dead. A person without Christ is a lost sinner. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. So all the people that are struggling and confused and lost and bound up have to know that they can do nothing to help themselves and that they're a lost sinner. So once we've explained the first stage, that God is offering them a free gift, would you like me to go on? Yes, please. Yeah, I want to know more. So if you get that response, then you move on to the next stage and talk about the person is a lost sinner. A man cannot save himself. We can't earn our salvation. There's no way we can do anything. We were born in sin. Does that make sense? Do you understand that? Yes. Would you like me to go on? Get their permission. If you're talking to someone and you can get their permission, then you can say more. It's like getting a fish on the line. When you're fishing, you get the bite, then you start to reel the fish in, and you slowly bring him to the bank. So if you can get them hooked right from the beginning and ask permission to talk to them, and if they say yes, that's the next stage to move on to. Now we move on to God. God loves and doesn't want to punish us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God is a holy God. He cannot mix oil and water. God must punish sin. We can't have a relationship with God if our lives are in a mess and we're living a life of sin, a godless life. God will not accept you in that state. God is just, and therefore he must punish sin. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The key to the key to seeing the fruitfulness is learning these scriptures and being able to quote them in these stages. Bringing them along with you. See, because they're going to understand what God has done for them, and at the outcome or the conclusion, there will be something that they have to do to receive God's forgiveness. So then we move on to talk about Jesus Christ. Tell who Jesus is. He is the God-man. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He came, the God-man, God came amongst us in the form of Jesus. So you can go on and explain about the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Tell of what he did. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. He came to die. He came to be a sin offering. He came to take our death. Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Quoting these scriptures and telling them about Jesus and that he came to take their death, etc., etc., does that make sense? Does that make sense to you? If you get the answer yes, by now, often a person who is hearing these scriptures will be starting to melt, because the word of God will be moving in their heart if they're hearing this and listening to it and want to know more. Jesus came to bring in God's kingdom. He came to bring in the kingdom of God. God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And often to say that he's no longer dead, but he's alive. He's a risen saviour, alive at the right hand of God. There's so much you can say about what Jesus has done, depending on how much they want to hear. So it's tell who he is, the God-man, tell of what he did. And then we move on again. Would you like me to move on? Would you like to know more? Yes. Faith is the key. Faith is the key. We receive God's free gift by faith. We receive his free gift of salvation by faith. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. We're saved by faith through the grace of God. So faith is the key that opens the door to heaven. Faith is the key that opens the door to heaven. Romans 1:6. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. So in that, the Holy Spirit will be guiding us as we're taking them through these stages in various ways to be able to reach them depending on how they answer. And then we come to this response. Does it all make sense? Is that clear? Can you understand what I've been saying? If the answer comes back yes, then there are clarifying questions. Are you sure you want to go on? Are you sure you understand? I mean, for years, I struggled to know what the gospel was all about. They preached to me about the cross, knew about Easter, I knew about Jesus dying, but it all didn't make sense in my mind to explain it or to think clearly of the stages or the steps of what God had done for us in Christ. I mean, salvation is so simple but yet so complex, but you can't actually see it until we are seeing things with our spiritual eye. Do you understand? Would you like me to pray for you? Now, this is key. Would you like me to pray for you? If they say, no, I'm not ready yet, then you can gracefully say, well, I will pray for you, and maybe when you're ready sometime, maybe we could have another talk. Again, think about it. Let me know. Don't bully people. Don't be a spiritual scalp hunter. Be sensitive to where they are. A lot of people are bullied into making decisions just to say that I led somebody to Christ today or something like that. And really, they never really understood what they were doing. But if we can be a person that can explain the implications, you will see people coming to Christ. People who have been struggling in the church with problems. There are people in the church today who have got mega problems and hurts and hang-ups because the gospel wasn't explained to them clearly. And if they'd have understood the gospel clearly, a lot of what they're suffering with would have been left at the cross with Jesus and buried with him. They would have walked free into the glory of his resurrection and freedom. If there's somebody struggling like that that you know, think about asking God if you'd like to contact them and pray for them and inquire how they became a Christian. Find out what they understand about their faith and just go back over it with them. And often if you can make a recommitment and they're understanding what they're doing, they will come through from all the baggage and walk free. Praise God. So then we come to three steps to take. First, repent. So if someone has understood and made all the right noises, you've got to say to them, Jesus said, repent. The first things that Jesus preached was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Get rid of your own ideas, your own conceptions, stop doing what you're doing, and turn around and come to God as a little child and repent and admit that you were wrong and that you need Christ in the centre of your life. So first, repent. Some of us took years to learn to repent or be willing to repent. I'm one of them. 7 years I struggled because I wouldn't let go. I mean, Arthur Ford said to me, John, you were a tough nut to crack. You were a tough nut to crack. Just not willing to let go. Frightened almost of letting go and letting God take over. But God brought me to the place where I was broken and came right to the end of myself. And then it was, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Second, belief in Christ. They've got to believe in Christ. Believe. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. I can actually say honestly that I said at one stage, I don't believe there is a God. I can remember saying it. Wouldn't say it now. And then third, acceptance of Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with me. Often when you quote that, if they've really understood what you're saying, they'll be willing to let you pray with them And then you can just say a little prayer and lead them to Jesus. So that is the gospel presentation. There's more that could be said, but I think my time's nearly up. On the next page, we've got know-how in evangelism. I thought I'd throw this in for no extra charge. And it's something that may help you at some stage if you're asked to share something. And it might just help you to be able to put something together, to be able to just talk for Jesus. A little outline, some ideas. There are three areas of known how. I'll get my mouth around that. Of know-how within the confines of this talk. Knowing how to relate to others. See under the healing human-based gifts, where we've looked at that, equipped to witness. Knowing how to give a talk. For open, outside in the open air, evangelistic services, etc. And some basic pointers in preparing a talk. And then you've got some little headings there, bullet headings. Keep your subject matter of topic simple. Have one clear topic, etc. Knowing God, forgiveness, joy, purpose in life, loneliness, unemployment. You've got some headings there that you could begin with. Apply your topic at the personal level. Use the word you. Make use of personal testimony. I tend to do that all the time because the Lord just draws me to do that. But like I said at the beginning, I'm not suggesting where you do your evangelism. I'm wanting you to know how to do it when you get there, or where the Lord leads you to do it. You know, to be able to give the gospel, to understand where people are. And I'm deliberately saying that because I know nothing about France, and certainly a lot of what I've done in the past would not apply here. So working amongst yourselves, perhaps having meals, inviting people in for a meal, talking to them, making friendship evangelism, house groups, all this kind of thing. You can do all this by doing it through those channels, or any other way that the Holy Spirit might lead you to do it. But it's being alive to God through the Holy Spirit, with the focus of making disciples and having the tools to do the job. Have a relevant illustration, if possible, to help people to identify with your talk. Have a short and interesting introduction to your talk that is related to the topic. Have a short, challenging and punchy conclusion. You can do this in the house group for about 10-15 minutes. Little punchy talk. Knowing how to follow up. Avoid the word counselling because it has negative associations for many non-Christians. Use simple booklets which explain the fundamentals of salvation and the Christian life. I think when God gives you a vision for this church, you know where you're going, you can start to produce literature that is relevant to what God has called you to do as a group. And I think you've got to find that identification and know God's calling on this work here, and for all of you to be part of it and work together. I think Pam's going to say more later during her talks on that. In conclusion, every evangelical church and its individual members should, by definition of the word evangelical, be involved in evangelism of some kind or other. Not only is evangelism neglected, it is often done badly. Christians often settle for low standards of presentation of the gospel and cheap-looking literature. Whatever methods of evangelism we choose to use, we should give it our very best and make sure it is Jesus-centered. One of the things that Derek Cook taught me when I worked with him was to pay attention to detail and to do everything that would bring glory to God, and to, you know, have a good presentation in all that we do. Somebody speaking? Oh. And with that, I conclude. With that, I conclude. Pray.